Every company says that they put their customer first. But if you walked through your own organization today, would every team member from the front desk to the C-suite prove that? Today, we're digging into how to truly cultivate a client-first culture, not just as a slogan, but as a daily standard that drives growth, loyalty, and pride across every level of your team. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. Thanks for being here. Before I introduce our very special guest, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Innovation Room wherever you get your podcasts. Now, please join me in welcoming Lulu McManus to the show. Lulu is a dear friend from the trade show world, and Rhiannon and I have always admired her friendly and joyful spirit. She's the director of business development for PaveCo, which is a national leader in commercial paving, asphalt, and concrete. She's got a background that really blends creativity and strategy, so she brings a unique perspective to business development at PaveCo. She's a graduate in marketing and communications with a foundation in film production, and she spent her early career working on film sets, learning how to lead teams, manage chaos, tell compelling stories. And then for the last decade, she channeled that film energy into the paving world as PaveCo National's self-proclaimed Smooth Vibes Manager, a title that really captures her approach to leadership and client relationships. She oversees sales and business development nationwide, building strong partnerships and ensuring every project and every client experience runs as smoothly as a freshly paved lot. Her mix of creativity, strategy, and good humor has helped PaveCo grow into one of the most trusted names in national parking lot maintenance. So Lulu, welcome to the show.
Hi, super happy to be here.
Okay, so let's get started. Today we are talking about beyond the customer service. And sometimes people who never speak directly to clients, like your accounting, your operations, fabrication, are actually the ones that shape the client experience the most, which is surprising. A true client-first culture doesn't just live in your customer service department. It's built behind the scenes for sure.
Exactly. So this client-first mindset, right, it really has to be driven by a shared purpose. Gallup has done tons of research into kind of the workplace and what goes on and what makes businesses tick. And so some of their key findings point to the value of high employee engagement, right, and how that can really drive your business. They found that highly engaged employees lead to 14% higher productivity, 23% higher profitability, and 10% higher customer loyalty and engagement. So I think it's really clear that the more you engage your employees, the better the outcome, including that increased loyalty from your customers. So Lulu, I would love to kind of get your thoughts on those statistics and what you think about employee engagement.
Oh, I think it's crucial. One of the things that I really knew when I came on at PaveCo, which I've been with the company now 10 years, from when we were small in a little trailer just doing self-performance to where I was running from a labor team to now national where we work in all 50 states. It's a little different, but the main thing that's always remained the same is the company culture. And that starts with the employees. And that means having them involved at every step and knowing exactly what you said, like our main mission, our goal, all of it, and having everybody involved. I think that there's a big disconnect when you keep departments separate from each other. And, you know, you just work in this area, you work in this area, and nobody knows what the full picture is. And obviously, like, I'm a storyteller. So when I saw that, to bring that into play into a corporate, you know, company, I was like, okay, what do we do? Okay, everybody needs to know the why. Why are we doing this? And so it's paving. Okay, it's not that interesting. But still, what we're actually doing is serving clients and making their lives smoother. So, and that starts from engaging from HR to accounting to our, you know, project managers, facilitators, all of it. And I think what we do that really well is having everybody involved as far as we are really close on teams. Like we use chat services. I mean, we probably all talk 100 million times a day. Everybody could probably tell you what the successes of the week are that day, what the downfalls are. And then we all meet every week from the entire team. And we go, and when we talk about everybody's department, what's working, what's not, what are we doing? And I feel like that keeps us all together. We also have fun, which I think is crucial. That's the number one thing I can say for culture is to, you know, to have employees want to give you more, is making things fun. Like, as you guys know, when we meet at these events and everything, we're always, you know, everybody wants to be there, but at the same time, they don't. It's work. So we hope to make it fun and enjoyable. And I feel like the happier people are, obviously, the more you get out of them. And yeah, so I think
that's great. It's for me, it's that work hard, play hard model, you know, where I know that my team works hard. And sometimes, honestly, if we take everything so seriously, I feel like we'd be depressed all the time. I mean, we're in facilities. Let's be honest.
Our drink alone is depressing at most times.
Like, nothing ever goes as planned. There's always, you know, things happening.
And compliments are very far and few between.
Right. Exactly. We even call our department Crazies R Us. So, and I think I've said that on a podcast before, where one of my team members, she answers the phone, Crazies R Us, how can we help you during our busy season? And it is, I think, keeping things lighthearted. But I loved how you said that you integrate the different departments and the different teams, because I know that in the past and just being through things ourselves, that sometimes you can have that friction when you don't fully understand what each team is doing, even though we have to work together so much to get the end outcome. Sometimes we don't understand each other's positions or jobs or the whys, like you said, behind that.
Or the importance.
I loved that.
Like, that's, I feel like a lot of people don't get the respect of their role because they think, oh, well, your job is to just do that. You know, oh, you, what do you, you're accounting, you just run payroll, or you just input invoices, or you, okay, but no, if we don't get that invoice inputted within a certain amount of days, our client is upset, they might not pay. Or, you know, if you're a project coordinator and you thought you're just supposed to get the proposal, but you didn't know that I actually spoke with that client and they needed a very specific way. Like, it's full circle. And everybody's role is so important. And we've seen it. I mean, we have a small team in general compared to people that have thousands of employees. And we like it that way. We've thought about expanding so many times into like, oh, okay, we could add this many employees and do this. And then when we all come down to it, we all kind of take a vote. It's like a democracy in our company. Like, would you rather have 17 other people that could help do this? You know, just keep it how it is, or add one or two more, or whatever it may be. And we've always voted smaller in the sense of that we work together. We know there's no disconnect.
Well, employees feel like they're part of the decisions and they're part of the process, you get that more, that buy-in and the loyalty from those employees so much easier because they do understand. So my question for you would be, how can companies help, like, back of house or support teams understand and see that their role in the client's journey?
Totally. So one thing, like we discussed, that we do for sure, no matter what, is we do a weekly meeting. So ours is on Tuesdays at 10. You're welcome to join. Come, more the merrier. And like I said, we go through everybody's ups and downs of the week, where we're at, and that's in every department because they're all connected. And that way people really see, like, why, you know, Karen and we don't have Karens, but Karen and, you know, accounting is crucial, or why Joe in marketing or sales is crucial. So we do that obviously always. But then another thing we did that was interesting was I made this like pyramid of baton passing is what I call it. So a graph and a graphic of to show like, and it wasn't to show like somebody's at the top and everybody's down, you know, below them. It was more to show how you pass the baton and when you do, so that everybody that comes in, it started as like an SOP to show like new hires or, you know, a training tool. Hey, if you're in this role, you're going to pass it to this person and that person. But when we showed it, it really actually showed how connected everybody is, because it all comes back. Like, it's not, you don't just pass the baton and, you know, make a left, like you pass it and then they bring it back. And so it's this whole connectivity that like really shows the importance and value of everybody.
Have you guys found that you can, I guess, like, how do you train your employees to like desire to understand the value of being connected? Does that question make sense?
Yes. Well, I think two things. One, there's some things you can't train that I've realized too, right? So I can train and I can show you and I can lead you to every piece of, you know, water of here's why you should care, or here's why this person matters. But if they don't get it at the end, it's just not a good fit for our sake. There's a lot of companies or other jobs where people can just sit in their main lane or cubicle or whatever it may be, and they just transact and they close out and they move on. It works for that. But for ours, it's really less about training that and more about making sure that our hires are, they fit the mold. And they don't always, you know, after 30 days, we can know pretty quickly if you're not going to be that right fit. We learned that the hard way many times because we are a fun group and we're friendly. And so you want it to work, and you spend hours and so many months sometimes training, like, hey, we just need to, you know, to care or see why this matters, the full circle. And they don't get it. And so it's just not for our, I guess, business model. It kind of has to be more about the right hire and that person that has it in that sense than spending the training on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. So it's kind of like you're looking for that sort of innate understanding, like value of people, but also ability to like zoom out and kind of see
bigger. You have to be able to think bigger in our company, because some people are going to get jobs that are, you know, $2,000 and some people are going to get $2 million. But that $2,000 job can turn into a $2 million job with that client if we work it right. And if all of us work together, we can do that. But if you continuously get, you know, $2,000 jobs and think that it's not, that that's it, and then you get down, or, you know, it's like, that's not, you got to think bigger. And you have to be, you got to be someone who likes relationships. And many people, but lots of people don't. And that's okay. We've had some of those transactional employees. And honestly, for some things, they were awesome. Because they just handled their thing and moved on. But for the bigger picture stuff, no. You know, that we knew they were never going to be a part of that. They were just going to do their thing. But I think it's more, some things you just can't train like that. And that's okay for different roles.
And it's, we've talked about this again numerous times. It's just hiring for culture. And it's so crazy how important that is at the end of the day, especially when you sound like a company that holds your company culture at such a high level of importance. And when you are a company that does that, I mean, the right hire that fits into that team is just so crucial. And taking the time to really dig in and get to know that person. I take people out to lunch prior to hiring if I possibly can, or a lot of times I'll integrate them with my team before actually hiring them and take my team out to lunch if I can. So with that, like connecting internal employees to potentially client outcomes, how do you help them in like really seeing like that end impact? Are there any fun ways that you do that with your employees?
So because we communicate very regularly, we always celebrate the wins internally, whether it's on our team's chat or an email. And the wins can be something as small as, wow, they responded, or we got the job. You know, it varies. And I take all wins as a win, because, as you know, in our industry, like you're saying, not that there's not many wins, but this, you know, it's not always the most joyful experience when you're, usually when people get to the point of needing our services or whatever, they're probably like, they've needed it for a while. So they're like, you know, and then also what we provide is not always the cheapest. So just the nature of the beast. So that's another thing when we have to, you know, their price and all that. But so I think sharing the wins, I also let them sit in with me a lot on client meetings, and I'll like introduce them. I don't just like have them, you know, secretly listening in, but that way they can really see like the connection between what we're doing here, I guess, like the full circle. And they can see why, like, maybe they're like, oh, why did you ask what her favorite food is? Or, you know, something silly like that. Oh, because when I see them next, I'm going to remember that we're going to get this, or their birthday, or, and then I want them to do the same thing for all their communication with the client, or vice versa, or even just getting, hey, did you hear she likes her invoices a certain way, or whatever, you know, building that as opposed to just being transactional and way more relationship based. And they usually get it after their first win, when they see the difference, when that person comes back and is like, hey, thank you so much. Like, hey, we get a thank you. That's lovely. And then, hey, can you also bid this next thing for me? And I really think it takes that first win from that, where they're like, oh, and are like the first win and then a repeat.
I love how you bridge that gap and potentially have somebody that would never be in that call or in that, have that connection with that person necessarily, because sometimes they don't talk to the clients face to face, but allowing them to see kind of behind the curtain. So, you know, as we've talked about it. So I think that's really neat. And I think that shows also, it builds a level of trust. Like, I'm not hiding anything. Like, sometimes there's that gap between different departments. Like sales is a perfect example of what is it, what are the salespeople actually do? Are they out partying? Is that all they do? But just allows that level of trust of here's what we're actually doing. And you really can explain, again, how all the pieces work together. So I think that's fantastic. And I might steal that, Lulu. I might steal that tip.
I would love it. We started, at first, it was like a training process of like, hey, I want you to hear kind of how I speak to the client and like as a way, just a guideline. But then it really became a bigger picture thing where, and like, I'll invite them on to meetings, even if they've already met the client, but I want them to see their success of like, hey, see how you got that proposal turned around quickly or in, within the budget that they needed, whatever it may be. Now she's asking, she wants another meeting because she's probably ready to click go. So let's get you on it. And like, I want them to know that their part was just as important. Like you should be here for the success of it too, because we are a team. And, you know, I know it makes me feel good when people bring me, because a lot of times I might get a sale, but then people are like, they run the job and then they get the success, you know, not that they get the success, but they're like, oh, you killed it. You got the job. And then I'm over here like, well, it was cool that I introduced you guys to them or whatever it was. But so it's like the full picture of all the things of like, see, we are in this. But yeah, having them be as a part of as much as possible, for sure.
I love that. Walking the walk and, or I guess talking the talk and walking the walk, you know, setting the example kind of from higher levels in the company. And so that it then trickles down to your folks totally. Who are on the front lines.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm more of a type of person that I learn hands-on. Like you could sit in school all day and you could tell me something and I'll be like, what? You know, get like throw me in and I'll run it. But I need that, you need to be a part of it. So I think that's, it's important. I think a lot of companies lack that involvement. It's kind of like stay in your lane mentality of like, well, okay. And maybe it works for them, but
yeah, I love that. Let's move on to our second topic for today's episode. We've talked a little bit about, right, the value of helping employees at all levels of an organization, right? Talking vertically, talking horizontally, right? We really want them to invest in the client's experience. But there's still another step, and that's really helping your team move from that transactional kind of investment in your customers and clients to a really transformational mindset.
Absolutely. And a client-first mindset, it really just isn't about like the speed or the friendliness. It really boils down to trust. And teams that operate as trusted advisors, they anticipate the needs, they think long-term, and they make decisions that build credibility. So in fact, Salesforce research shows that 89% of customers are more likely to make another purchase after a positive service experience, particularly when they feel understood and advised, not just served. So that's a pretty large number. And as we've, you know, talked about, trust is a big deal. So, Lulu, in your experience, what does it take for employees to move from order takers to strategic partners in that client relationship?
Well, I think, like you were talking about before, it's really getting to know the client. And it's not something that everyone thinks to do initially. Like, you know, if we hire, you know, we have project coordinators, what we call them, or they're chaos coordinators, actually, at our company. But so their job is to, you know, initially on paper, their job would be to get, you know, we give them a lead or a job, we call it request for proposal. They get the, you know, bids, they price it out, and then they submit the proposal to the client. And then that's it. If you were to just like have bullet points, but what does that mean? That means nothing really. If we were to just follow that, we'd have very few return clients or awards, because it's way more than that. They need to trust us and get to know us, because we're competing against numerous other clients, as I'm sure you know, like you guys. Like, we're not always going to be the only one, you know, fitting in. I love that I'm working towards that, but no, the reality is we're going against. So why would they choose us if we have the same price as everybody? What makes us stand out? And that's been on our agenda for literally 10 years of why choose Paveco. And the reason is trust, because we get to know you, because you know that when you call us, we answer the phone. We don't outsource a lot of things, anything in our office. You call it, probably might be me sometimes. We get to know the clients. I make sure. And so
that's what I train. I train the right people that get that. That's where I say, okay, now you're going to step into a week with me. And I'm going to show you how we can build trust from our client. Communication is number one. Like, obviously, and we say it, but do we always practice it? I don't know. You know, we don't, because I pull reports all the time and I go, hey, this issue probably could have been solved with some communication. And, you know, and if you knew the client, you would know that you needed to be ahead of that. So I think just like open communication, getting to know relationships, you got to stand out. And to do that is trust, but is really just like taking the extra minute, that extra step, say like finding something out, do research. We have a plethora of information online, a scary amount. Things that I find out, sometimes I'm Googling someone and I see their home address. I'm like, I don't want that. I just want to know, like, if they, you know, what college they went to or something. They're like, home address, social. I'm like, no. We don't need that much. But, you know, like, there's no excuse to now not take another minute to you know. And I tell my staff that too. Like, for us to work, we have to take that minute and make a phone call, send the email, you know.
So think of your, like, longest-term employees or people that have been there for a really long time. What's the difference that you think, like, that Paveco just, like, helped to make that employee, like, a loyal employee? One that they don't want to leave, and they really value that culture that we've talked about. What do you think stands out to them?
I think it's actually trust again, but us trusting them. I think, you know, everything's so different now with remote work, right? You know, and our company didn't start remote. We were all in an office and goofing off and having, you know, up each other's butts all day, every day. And then we went remote, you know, as a lot of people did. And with that also had to come trust. And we're not a micromanagement company. We don't enjoy that. We don't have time for it. We're busy. We want to make money and work. I don't need to know every aspect of your minute of the day, and I don't want to. So I think what keeps us, like, our culture, a lot of that is the trust and flexibility of knowing that, you know, we all are in this together. And if you get your job done, your life is yours. Kind of like it's not necessarily like a work-life balance, like that whole thing. It's more just like, hey, let's all get our stuff done and then we can live our life. If you're getting your stuff done on a beach in, you know, Greece or something, I love that for you. I'll probably be very jealous. But like, if I don't know, you know, it's like, so our culture is more like, let people be individuals yet amongst a team, if that makes sense. Like, we want you to stay. If we do. And so we're very encouraging to that. One thing, I'll tell a quick story about our company back before we were remote and how I knew I was probably never leaving Paveco, at least by choice. I had just taken over kind of running our office at the time. And I just put my first daughter back in school or back in preschool. I left the home, if you will. And I'm really excited to get on this role of running Paveco, and it was a big deal at the time. And I find out like 3 months later that I'm pregnant, and I'm like, okay, here we go. It's over. Like, and this time we're thinking, this is back in, you know, 2017. There's not many women in the paving industry. I don't believe this office had ever had a pregnant woman. So I'm so nervous to tell our owner, Darren, I'm like, okay, great. I had this opportunity and it's gone. So I just want to let you know I'm pregnant and I'm, you know, and he was like, okay, congratulations. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just letting you know, in 9 months, there's going to be a child and I don't know what that. So anyways, fast forward 9 months. Or it's actually Christmas. My daughter was born in January. It's December. And he calls me up. It's like 2 weeks before Christmas. And he's like, hey, I just realized we didn't decide what you're doing for maternity leave. And I'm like, yeah, what can we do? He's like, I mean, what do you want? Do you want 3 months? Do you want, like, you tell me and we'll make it work. He's like, which was very sweet. I was like, well, and I thought about it. I'm like, I have a fear if I take 3 months, because there wasn't many other people running this office and no other women at the time. I was like, I'm going to come back to something insane that gave me more anxiety than not. I was like, well, okay, let's do this. And this is before remote or anything. I'm like, what if my baby's cool? And not like colicky or, you know, easy kid. What if I bring her to work and then do like partially remote, like as long as it, and let's see if it works out. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't and we'll figure it out. Well, it turned out she was a very awesome baby and very chill, to the point that Darren was so accommodating. He would let me use his office to breastfeed or to change or nap. We even got a car seat to put in his truck for when we went on like events, and she became like the mascot of the office. And I was like, the people in the office would hold her when I used the restroom. Like, it became this like such a, the culture there to me was like, okay, this is how we can get things done. He's like, I'm not, if you are willing to do this, let's do it and let's try. And everybody's situation is different. So some people are going through other health issues or whatever, but there's their drive and their work ethic is still there. It's kind of like,
right. What I'm hearing from all of that is they value you as a person. They value Lulu, who you are and what you bring to the company, and not just a statistic on paper, not just your numbers, not just the hours, the punch card that you put in. And I think truly, quite frankly, that's what makes the difference. It is, do you value me as a person? And when I can see that you trust me, you value me, I'm going to turn around and give you everything that I can.
I'm going to give you 200% in that case. Like, because you, and we were just talking about, you know, this earlier, you know, offline, but about how life can be hard. It's challenging year after year. It's a new, lovely challenge of things. And that's just in the outside. And then we have our internal home things that things happen. And it would really stink to also have to worry about your career, right? And I'm going to say, like, you know, this only works if you're also a very passionate, driven employee on other things. You know, like, we're not just hiring people to be like, yes, come here and we don't care, live your life. But if you show that already and you have that stamina, then yes, we want you to be yourself. Another guy, he's Matt, who works with us, he's our pavement prodigy. He loved dirt biking at the time. So for his anniversary, we got him a dirt bike, and we wanted to show up to his games. Like, it's like supporting everyone as individuals. I write screenplays. Darren is the first to tell me, where are we at with your screenplay? Did it go anywhere? Like, let's go. I'll be at opening show. You know, it's like embracing everybody's life outside of work. This is so important because we are more than just our jobs. I hope. I like to tell myself that sometimes. It doesn't always feel that way, but
yeah.
So cultivating the right culture is obviously a critical step, but there's a lot more to every organization and what they need to do to make sure that a team is empowered to become trusted advisors for your customers. And this is where the structure comes to play.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Ree, right? Qualtrics found that 90% of customers trust a company whose service they've rated as very good, right? And often companies have really rigid systems for supporting their operations, right? And there's value in kind of some of those more stiff structures, but there also has to be some room for your team to kind of flex to meet the needs of your customer. So the structures that your team works in, right, they really have to be set up to make it easy for your employees to do the right thing, right? Even if it's not the sort of the by the book thing.
Right, absolutely. And let's be clear, we're not saying team members should just throw away the process and accountability, but having room for them to adapt and provide service cultivates the greater engagement from them and ultimately just better client satisfaction.
For sure.
So Lulu, how do you do that? How can leaders create processes and structures that encourage employees to take initiative effectively rather than like hiding behind policy?
Okay. So this is a great question. Because when I first started in the industry, for example, I didn't have much confidence and I had very little knowledge, to be honest. I was hired, that's another story. It was very funny that we'll do, but, I was hired cause we knew each other in another form of, friends that knew friends, and he gave me a shot kind of thing, if you will. Anyways, the best training I ever had from Darren was he never gave me the answer. Never gave me the answer. He gave me what needs to be done. He gave me, we got to get from here to here. And I would ask him, like, can you look this over? Even from an email standpoint, does this look right? He goes, well, what do you think? Do you think that's going to get us to there? Do you think that's going to do? And at first it was almost like, okay, man, like, yeah, I got, yeah, I'll figure it out, you know. But then I realized later he took me to lunch one day. I guess I'd been looking down or something, and he's like, you know that I'm doing this because I trust you. I trust you to make the right choice. And if I don't let you fail, even at times, you're not going to learn. And so he gave me the process. I knew what I needed to do. I knew what I needed to accomplish, but I had to figure it out. And I think a lot of people go wrong where they force this, you know, very structured SOP. And if you deviate from that, you are, you know, fired or whatever, but you're not letting people A, learn, because they're going to continue to make the mistake of whatever it may be. Understand, like, what am I doing? Do the research. Figure out how many tons goes into, you know, 450,000 square feet. Like, and it's not, and we have the resources. I could call Matt and he'd be like, oh, it's 450, you know, but I also, if I don't learn it myself, then I'm always going to have to call Matt. I'm always going to do that. And so if you, so the structure is very crucial, obviously, to have, you know, you need to follow these lines, but trusting your employee to deviate, to do what's best for the job also, or what if that employee knows the client better and they know, we normally say, nope, we don't send emails on Tuesdays to this, but they know that that client only gets emails on Tuesdays. But, you know, it's like, you gotta say, okay, well, send the email on the Tuesday. Like, you know, it's like, right. So I think it's enforcing the trust into your employees. You gotta trust them. Don't micromanage every step of the way. I've actually just been reading so much about this with my kids too, how like our kids' generations these days, like, can't even tie their own shoe or pour water or anything, because we're like, we'll do it for you. We're not doing anything for them in that case. They're going to be 20 years old, not know how to, you know, live a life or do laundry or whatever it may be. So there's a happy balance of giving them guidelines, which an SOP, staying in their lane, and then also figuring it out and then coming through. Like, so I let all of my staff, I'm like, hey, what would you, I took the Darren method. I'm like, what do you think is the right answer? And then I'll guide them. I'll be like, hey, no, let's not, in this case, we ain't deviating or whatever, but let them figure it out.
And I think that actually COVID and working remote helped me to do that even more, because in the office, I would get into the habit where one of my employees would say, hey, what do I do here? And like, just out of habit, I would answer them. Well, I'm not right next to them, right, you know, all the time. So they have to make the effort to actually pick up the phone and call me or IM me or whatever it may be. So I think COVID actually helped that a little bit, some of that independence with our employees. I know my employees kind of hate that, well, what would you do type of mindset, and they will push back. But I think your boss did such a good thing by taking you out and saying, look, if I didn't trust that you were going to be able to do the job, I wouldn't give you that. And what we tell people all the time is, I'm not going to let you fall on your face. I will give you the safety net. We are here. I would never put you in a situation where I am going to set you up to fail. And I think that's that back and forth trust that you have to be able to have and explain that to, because there are some managers out there that I feel like they set people up to fail. And
for sure.
Or they're... If you don't write an email exactly the way that I would have worded it, it's wrong. And there's those people that really, and just like you, I thought like the children, it was a perfect example, because if you do everything for them just the way that you would have done it, what are they learning? And that is a perfect example for that. So I couldn't agree more. So we talked a little bit before about like the flexibility, and you said, you know, I don't care if you're working in Greece. Like, so what does that flexible structure look like in a practice? Well, you also obviously have to balance the efficiency and the personalization of everything. So what does that look like?
So at least for us, like I said, since we're not major micromanagers, and we also are blessed in the sense that we don't have to be, we're not a 1,000 person team. I understand in that sense where a lot of people have to be like, if you're managing 500 people or something and you're like, where are you at all? You know, what's happening? So I think what we do is, once again, it comes down to, for us, it's trust and it's having the right team, because we don't need to know every second of the day what we do. But what we do do as out of respect for our team, because we all do work together in that sense, is if you're going to be out for an hour or two to do whatever it may be, you don't have to tell me what it is, but you're going to message the team and say, hey, I'm running to the dentist, or I'm just running, I'll be back in 1 hour. But that way we don't get upset if we try to contact you and you're not available. We can direct your call. We can solve a situation. Like, if somebody calls and it's urgent, we need to handle it.
And if I know that you're not there, then we'll just get it handled. If I'm trying to contact you and I can't, then I'm upset, right? So it comes with that flexibility. So you have to have the right people that can work under this. I guess some people need more structure, and that's fine too. But for us, I feel like it really is that balance of getting your job done, making sure that you're available when you need to be, letting people know, communication, be honest. That's my biggest thing. You cannot lie and have this work. And I hold myself to every same standard. When I tell the team I'm leaving, I'm gone for this hour and I'm available on my cell phone, I do everything the same that I want from them. Because that's another thing that I find is doesn't work sometimes with this kind of flexible setup is when other people don't have to do the same, things, if you will. Like, well, they get to just go, you know, even sometimes, you know, the owners, if they're like, and I understand they're the owners and obviously, but upper management. If you don't follow your same expectations that you have for your staff in the sense of respect of time and getting jobs done, it's not going to work. People don't respect that. And they're going to do the same thing and they're going to cheat the system. And this whole flexible situation just falls. It doesn't work. And we've had employees like that before where they instead of just telling me, hey, I'm going to be gone for 3 hours because I have this going on or whatever it is, they just try to sneak it out. And then I'm trying to contact them. And then my whole day, it's a trickle effect. Like, then I'm spending my time trying to do, I don't have the answers, whatever it may be. And so it affects everybody. So as long as we're open and honest, communicate with each other. Like I said, if you're in Greece, love that for you. You probably might have to get up a little earlier or stay up later or vice. No, I don't know. Don't ask me to do time frames on a Monday. But, you know, if you're okay with waking up earlier and what I don't, great. Enjoy. Like, as long as it's so I think that's it. Just really honest, open communication and respect of people's time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So do you have an example of a time when somebody had to kind of break the mold or rethink a process that when they kind of flexed a little bit, that it made a really tangible impact for the client?
Yeah, for sure. One of our bigger clients that we was new that we brought on, and I gave to one of our employees that I knew was a super relationship. I try to fit our clients with the right head. You know, some people are better with this type of personality, and we normally do things in a very strategic way, as far as like the, you know, you get this quote first, you put this in first, then you input that. This person needed something on the fly, and we normally can facilitate that pretty quickly, but this is a larger job. And so this employee ended up getting numbers together outside of our normal process with a vendor that we've used multiple times. She vetted it for herself. And she said, I feel like we should just go this route. And I was hesitant because I was like, well, this is a big number. And if it, you know, if it's, you know, I'm like, let's take a beat. She's like, well, she needs the numbers now. I feel like we're going to get this award. And I know she had all super communication with the client, all the things. I said, okay, I'm going to let you fly. And we're going to see what happens. And we got the job and it worked out great. And it was because she knew the client. She knew her better than me at that point because we'd done lots of jobs with her. I knew her from a client relations standpoint. She knew her on a job, you know, job to job basis. And she knew that she wouldn't let her fail in that regard. And it worked and we got more. So that quick turnaround got us the job as opposed to me being hesitant and making sure that we were crossing every line that I usually do, and we probably wouldn't have got it because she needed it then, you know. So that was a situation where I'm like, okay, girl, well, see, you knew and you trusted your gut, and I'm so glad you did because you're being smart.
Incredible. Yeah, just let the kid climb on the couch and fall off, and maybe they bonk their head, but it's okay.
Take the risk. That's you got it sometimes, not always.
I love that.
Sometimes you have to, and you gotta trust your staff too. Though sometimes I think also as being the heads of things, and you're overseeing all these little, you see all the issues all the time, right? So you're just looking down. You know, all you see is messes half the time, but you're not. And where this person is like focused, you know, right on that thing, and she knows or he that this is gonna work, and you're like, but I see all these issues. All no, this is too messy. We can't afford to do this right now. And they're like, but I promise you, this is right now. And you're like, okay, fine. Jump off the cliff. You got it. You make sure the parachute works. And so, and it won't always, but in this case it did.
So. That's Oh, that's a great story. Lulu, thank you so much for joining us today and just sharing your insights. It was really a delight to have you on the show and learn from you.
It has been so fun. I always love talking to you ladies.
Yes, thank you. We love your fun personality.
All right, Ree, this was such a great conversation with Lulu. What is your biggest takeaway from our topics?
I think if I could pinpoint it, it would just be the give and take in the relationship between the employer-employee and really truly diving down to the level of trust that you have with your employees and they have with you as their employer. And that if you are that company that looks at your employees as a person and sees them as a person and a value as a person and not just a number, the level of loyalty that you will have will probably be hands down different from those that don't.
I think that's so true. And I would add to that, that it seems like what's true for Paveco, and I think is true for all companies that kind of have that sort of flavor of success, is that precedent for trust and integrity and really valuing associates really starts at the top of your organization. So if you're not setting the example as the leadership team, then I think it's frankly like fairly unreasonable to expect your folks who are on the front lines to value that, even if you don't, right? Or maybe to say you do, but to not actually live that way, right? When there's like that kind of disconnect that causes a lot of problems and cognitive dissonance, I think, for your employees. So you have to, if you're going to talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. You've got to connect all the dots.
If you as the CEO are willing to get your hands dirty and do what every single person in the entire company would do at any given point in time, then you're probably not doing the right thing.
Exactly.
All right. That is a wrap on this episode. Thank you again, Lulu, for joining us and sharing your insights. Remember that being client first doesn't start with customer policies. It starts with the internal alignment. When every team member feels like they're part of protecting and elevating that client experience, you can stop chasing satisfaction scores and start creating loyalty by design.
Y'all, thanks so much for joining us today. Don't forget to like and share this episode, subscribe to the podcast, and let us know if you have any other thoughts about kind of creating that good employee connection across all levels of your organization. Until next time, keep innovating.